Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I certainly hope you are having a good day and looking forward to a beautiful weekend. I definitely am here in the studio. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Great to be back with you. And today I'm going to play for you. I'm going to read an article I found earlier today called A Broken Culture by Eric Erickson. I referenced him yesterday. Just a couple more thoughts on the situation that we're dealing with this week and with the shooting. Just the other day, up in Washington, D.C., this article is called A Broken Culture. And you can read a lot of different things out there, obviously online. But the one thing I definitely appreciate about Eric Erickson, who's started the resurgent, and I think he started Red State before. I can't remember which one he started, then it stepped away. But he started the resurgent, another website. He's got a pretty successful talk radio program, 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon down in Atlanta. And he's also in seminary. The guy knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and you can see that more and more in his writings about cultural issues, political issues, and just a really brilliant guy. And so I really appreciated many different things in this article. So I'm going to share that with you. And then we'll dive right into this interview that I did with Bart Millard, who's the lead singer of Mercy Me. And an incredible talent, obviously, and I've mentioned before, starting all the way back in January. I Can Only Imagine, which is the number one selling Christian song of all time, there's a really incredible story behind that about Bart and his dad. His father was an abusive man, and Bart's childhood was very, very difficult. Bart left the home, 17, 18 years of age, something like that, and just a really powerful story of reconciliation. And his father got terminal cancer and fought that, I think, for a few years. And Bart said because of his being born again, his faith in Jesus Christ, his father went from being a monster to being his best friend. And if you watch any of the National Day of Prayer events up in D.C. this year, Bart was there with the rest of Mercy Me and sang that song. And he mentioned, if Jesus can turn around that dude, He can save anybody, and it's really, really a powerful story. We obviously have a lot of broken families in America and unreconciled relationships, and it's really a beautiful story. So in the movie, Dennis Quaid, famous actor Dennis Quaid, plays Bart's dad, and Bart's played by a young gentleman, John Michael, I've gotten to know, who's been on Broadway, and he's actually an understudy as Jean Valjean in Les Mis, and just a great young talent and a neat guy himself. And he plays Bart for the overwhelming majority of the movie. And how did that song get written? What was the story behind it? I can only imagine. So Bart was there with Mercy Me this past Sunday for Harvest America, of course, with Pastor Greg Laurie, there at the University of Phoenix Stadium, where I was for the last 6 days or so. Got back on Wednesday. And I met Bart in Nashville recently. I've been around him some other things with Harvest and other places, but never really had a chance to visit with him. And he's a really wonderful, sweet, soft-spoken guy, totally normal, not self-impressed. And we had a chance to sit down this past Sunday and talked about a few different things. We talked about the movie a little bit. We talked about what it's like to do music in front of such a massive crowd. There were 38,000 people that time. They're not used to playing concerts that big. And then the fact that it's an evangelistic outreach. And then the last thing we talked about, which you'll hear today when I get to this, is Bart's son. They have five kids. Their first child, their son, they found out after I think he was 2 years old that he had really, really serious lifelong diabetes. And I think the last time I watched a clip of Bart talking about it on stage, His son had like 37,000 shots. Every time he eats, he has to take a shot. Really, really serious. And Bart and his wife struggle with that, with their faith and pray for healing and all of that kind of stuff. And God chose not to heal his son. He's going to have this lifelong affliction. God can certainly still heal him. But he has this lifelong affliction. I think his son's 15 now, 15 or 16. Really, really serious case of diabetes. And so we talked about that as well. And I'll play that for you. But I want to read a little bit of this article from Eric Erickson about what happened the other day. This just, I thought he had made a lot of great points here. A broken culture. I'll get this started. I probably won't finish it before the break. There was a time in the United States when people knew their neighbor. They never thought about Washington, but rather knew the answers to their problems were found locally. They relied on family, church, and community. That community would vary from place to place. Each community would be largely homogeneous, but then very different from other communities. Each community had its own quirks, but the communities were made up of people from all walks of life. Over a period of decades, communities started fracturing. Americans left the church, abandoning the gospel, and with it, a common tongue of stories shared between people. They moved off of their front porches. Instead of looking ahead and making eye contact, they started looking down at the small, bright screen in their hands. On that screen, they started building new communities. Instead of enjoying the world God made man made his own world. In it, he could select the people he wanted there. 500 television stations allowed him to curate his entertainment to reflect just him. The internet allowed him to select just the news he wanted to hear. Social media allowed him to abandon the neighbor next door for the digital neighbor with whom he had no need to find common ground because they agreed on everything. Liking Facebook posts replaced sitting around a table sharing a meal. The coffee conversation at the local diner got replaced with the real-time Twitter feed where everyone complained about the same thing the same way and all targeted the same group to blame. God made the real world and we see him reflected in it. Man made his own world and we see his reflection in it. The former is beautiful, not much for the latter. That self-created world has become a tribe. In it, people are neighborly, kind, and generous. Out of it, people are not people, but quote-unquote other. Those others are to blame, and there is no common tongue to relate to them. The others soon become de facto bad. When the voices in your self-selected world tell you that the other is destructive and out to kill you, over time it becomes easy to believe it. After all, you never encounter the other anymore. And all the news you consume tells you the other is the problem. The other then becomes the enemy out to destroy you and your way of existence. The only way to stop them is through violence. You see them not as a neighbor because you have no community with them. You see them not as a fellow American because your news and social media tell you that they are traitors. You see them not as a child of God created in his image because you no longer go to church. It is suddenly very easy to devalue the enemy. A couple more thoughts of that. And my reaction to that one, there's a couple things in there I think are great and we need to pay attention to as followers of Jesus Christ, which I certainly hope you are. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. I'll finish that when we come back, and then we'll hear my interview with Bart Millard from Mercy Me.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ, like a fire.
Back at Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always. Hope you're having a wonderful end of the week and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. And we're excited. The Noble family is excited. We're heading out to the mountains in North Carolina for a couple days. My oldest son, who used to produce the show for a few years, almost 3 years, Hayden, who's now graduated from college and is engaged. His best friend, they've been best friends. He's 21. He'll be 22 on August 1st. His best friend since they were five. Is a dear friend of the family, the Yoakum family, but J.D. Yoakum, J.D. and Hayden, best friends since age five, and now Hayden is his, J.D.'s a triplet. He's got two sisters plus a younger sister, but Hayden's his best man, so that's, we're all excited going out to the mountains of North Carolina for that, and it's been really cool. What a neat blessing. Two young boys, little boys that could never stop talking and still don't. here we are 16 years later, and the first one's getting married and the other one will get married probably here in the next year. And just really a neat blessing. So I hope you have some blessings to look forward to this weekend as well. I was just reading from this article, A Broken Culture, by Eric Erickson, taking a look at where we're at as a nation. He was talking about, hey, you know, we used to sit on the porch and talk to our neighbors, and then we got rid of that kind of neighborly stuff, and we went to social media, and we started building our own tribes, largely of people that think and act like we do. So the other side just becomes that, the other. And this is where kind of Eric Erickson's going with this. The other then becomes the enemy out to destroy you in your way of existence. The only way to stop them is through violence. You see them not as a neighbor because you have no community with them. You see them not as a fellow American because your news and social media tell you they are traitors. You see them not as a child of God created in his image because you no longer go to church. It is suddenly very easy to devalue the enemy. This is the world to which we now careen. As local community collapses, the power of Washington grows, every hill becomes one to die on, and people continue to wall themselves off into worlds of their own design, the violence we saw in Washington would become more commonplace. Political rhetoric in this country has always been incendiary and has rarely led the crazy to act. But now the rhetoric is not tempered by the reality of the community around us. Instead, it is reinforced by the community we have created. It is amplified, and the tribal instincts create a feedback loop to defend the tribe from the other. The crazy are cheered for defending the tribe. After all, the other tribe started it. So some great thoughts there, Broken Culture. I'll post this this article on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, which, by the way, you can join us on Facebook Live. So my Facebook Live friends are watching the studio right now via video right through Facebook. So facebook.com/C2A Radio. And thanks to one of my friends on Facebook and also a guy I went to high school with, TJ, he suggested yesterday, because we closed the show, Facebook Live, in prayer. So we finished the radio show, and then we talk for a few minutes after we're done here on the radio, and we are still talking on Facebook Live. And then I prayed for all of us, prayed for our nation, prayed for what happened on Wednesday. And he said, man, we should do this every day. So we're going to. So if you want to join us for prayer at the end of the show, and I'll just kind of take us where the Lord leads me as we move through the show and get into some other issues. But I think that's so important, especially as our country is on a really bad track. And I think we need to make sure, if you're a follower of Christ, and I certainly hope you are, that that we do our part to be good ambassadors of the gospel, willing to share the gospel, to give an answer for the hope that we have. With gentleness and respect, 1 Peter 3:15, and not so, we can speak truth, but do it with grace and compassion and patience and gentleness and self-control. We should not be communicating at the vitriolic level that the world does, because we're not of the world. So let's make sure, that's why I wanted to read that one to you, let's make sure we're doing our part. Speaking the truth boldly with courage, absolutely, unafraid of man, only fearing God. But let's make sure we do so with as much grace as we can muster, and mercy, and remembering that we really only have one enemy. His name is not the Democrat Party or a liberal or even something like Cecil Richards at Planned Parenthood. Our only true enemy is Satan himself. And of course, he's the prince of the air of this world. And so we still see him having all kinds of influence. One day that will be gone. Praise the Lord. So this past Sunday, I was in Phoenix for the Harvest America Crusade with Pastor Greg Laurie. An awesome night. First time there in Phoenix for Harvest. And 38,000 people came out that night to hear the gospel. And Greg preached it as he always does with the authority of an evangelist and a clear gospel message using the news of the day and scripture. He's a very down-to-earth communicator. And also on Monday, it announced at a meeting, the annual Southern Baptist Convention was there, that Harvest was also going to be associating with the Southern Baptist Convention, which is really exciting. I'm a Southern Baptist. To bring in a ministry and a pastor and a whole culture at Harvest Christian Fellowship out in California that I've been around since 2006, which has had a huge impact on what I choose to talk about on the show and how I talk about it. God has really used that gospel-driven ministry and church to impact me. And so it's beautiful to be around that. And listen, the Southern Baptist Convention needs that kind of strong proclamation evangelist example. We often act like the days of Billy Graham are over, and proclamation evangelism and calling people to make a decision right then and there doesn't work anymore. You want to bet? There were about 3,000 people on the floor that night at the University of Phoenix Stadium that came down to respond to a clear gospel message and invitation, a no-holds-barred, no-apologies-made gospel invitation. And every time I've seen Pastor Greg do it in massive venues and small venues, I've seen thousands of people respond. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So it's our job to share it For some evangelists, that's their primary gifting. Share that like Pastor Greg does. Call people to respond, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost. You find that in the Old and the New Testament. Today is the day of salvation. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's all over the place. So it was really exciting to watch that. So I had a chance to sit down. Bart Millard is the lead singer of Mercy Me. And we sat down before Harvest on Sunday, just a little room off their dressing room, and had a chance to catch up. I met Bart and had a really nice visit with him several weeks ago when I was in Nashville at a screening for the new movie coming out near Easter. I Can Only Imagine. So you know the song, I Can Only Imagine, the number one selling Christian song of the modern era, of pretty much all time. And it crossed over to the secular world. And God just used that song in an amazing way. It's blessed so many, so many people, has it not? But there's a great, powerful story behind that. So I'm going to play that first clip from our interview time together. It's just about 5.5 minutes. I'll play that when we come back for the break. And you'll hear Bart talking about what it's like all of a sudden, you know, a big part of your life and your upbringing. All of a sudden is going to be on the big screen for all these people to see. He's used to the attention, obviously, as the lead singer of Mercy Me. But this is different. You're going to get other people in there that don't go to Mercy Me concerts. And it's going to be really cool to watch God use that, because we've got so many broken relationships in this country, especially on the fatherhood side. Because 42% of children in America today are growing up without a father in the home. So it's going to be a powerful opportunity come next spring to watch God use, I Can Only Imagine. So you'll hear me talking to Bart about that. Again, that was just this past Sunday. And then we're going to move into talking about what it's like for Mercy Me and for Bart to be kind of one of the front groups providing the music at an evangelistic outreach. Is that different for them than a regular concert, where it's all about the lost, it's all about the gospel, it's all about proclamation and invitation? And then finally, we'll talk about Bart's and his wife, their first child, who's now 15 or 16 years of age, who has a lifelong battle with diabetes and their struggle with God and their faith, and why didn't God heal their son? I know there's some of you that need to hear that as well. So we'll go right to that, my interview with Bart Millard, when we come back. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. Okay, welcome back to Call to Action. This is Steve Noble. Great to be with you. So last Sunday, I spent 6 days in Phoenix, Arizona for the Harvest Crusade and had a chance to sit down with Bart Millard, who's the lead singer of Mercy Me. And the first thing we talked about was the movie I just mentioned, I Can Only Imagine, which is the actual true story behind the song. So we'll kick it off right there. This was me with Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me, just this past Sunday.
How different is it dealing with the movie environment versus what you've been doing? Music world,
not terribly different, but you know, I'm sure you ask me a year from now, it'll probably be different, but I'm still kind of learning how the process works with the movie thing, but so I don't know if it's different. I really don't know how different it would be, just because I'm kind of, they'll kind of clue me in on what's going on, but you know, I'm
when and where.
I'm pretty much super uninvolved until the movie's ready to be rolled out. Like, I was involved when they were doing the script,
sure.
And then now we're kind of in that. You know, I've watched it several times and, you know, given my opinion on stuff, and now they're tweaking it.
How long ago did the process start?
I was first asked 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then I would say probably 4.5 of those, nothing really happened. There were scripts being written once in a blue moon, but we just figured it was going away. And then I would say the Irwins got involved maybe 2 years ago, or year and a half, 2 years ago.
Which is a significant blessing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so, even though they asked me 6 years ago, I'd say it was about 2 years ago that things started happening.
Yeah. How is it to, and we talked about this a little bit, but I wasn't recording anything. To get to that kind of level of exposure, not public exposure, you've got all that you could ever want, but exposing your story and your past, which I know you share on stage, and that's been a part of your ministry and a part of your message, even at the White House.
Right.
You know, that came out there.
Yeah.
But just all of a sudden, because you're going to have all kinds of people, all of a sudden they know Bart's story and your dad and the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know how different it's going to be, just because like you said, like, you know, for 17 years, I guess how long the song is, we've been telling some form of the story on stage that whole time. And so people are like, are you kind of nervous about people hearing the story? And I was like, man, you know, a lot of people have heard the story for a long time. This is totally different, but it's not like they just kind of found me out of nowhere and it's the first time I ever say anything. I don't know how that would feel. But so, yeah, it's, you know, it's yeah, I right now I think I'm, I still think there's a part of me that doesn't know what I'm about to get into, like, you know, good or bad or whatever. Sure. It's, it doesn't, it, it hasn't drawn an extra amount of attention on what we're doing yet. You know, I was happy when people that have seen it have responded in a pretty good way. And so that's promising, but I don't know what it's going to be like next spring when things are in full swing.
Well, you know, it'll be an interesting, because it crossed over so well.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that, you know, I think we're all hoping, and I'll certainly work on this, my own part on the radio show and stuff, that you're going to get people there that go, oh yeah, that song. But they've never been to a Mercy Me concert.
Right, right.
They might probably never been to something like a Harvest America cruise.
Right, right. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of people for years have, they know the song but don't know Mercy Me at all. And so it'll be interesting to see just the movie being the title of the song alone, how much people are like, oh yeah, I have some kind of connection to that, and see how they respond. But yeah.
It'll be exciting, one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
It depends
so.
On what kind of exciting, but
yeah.
There's nothing controversial in that story. There's nothing that paints anybody in a bad light, or, you know, how many people can relate to a broken right. father-son relationship or child?
Yeah, one of the coolest compliments I got was what one of the guys that saw the movie, I had mentioned something about that I was, so far, was kind of, as far as faith-based films go, I'm pretty happy where it is. And he was like, man, he goes, what's funny is he goes, it is faith-based and the gospel's in there. And he goes, but no time when I was watching it did I think of it that way. It's not like an agenda of shoving something right. down somebody's right. throat, but it's just telling a story.
Just a story.
By the way, this is an interview I did just this past Sunday with Bart Millard. He's the lead singer of Mercy Me, talking about the upcoming movie I Can Only Imagine, which is the true story, an incredible story behind the world-famous double platinum song, I Can Only Imagine.
Story.
And that was really encouraging because, you know, sometimes I think I'm too close to it to, you know, to have a full on, you know, I'm like, I'll either be overcritical or like allow things that should, you know, I'm too close. And so
it is a movie about you.
Right. And to hear somebody say, man, I watched it the whole time and they were like, I just didn't think of it as a, you know, other, what you call faith-based movies, which I guess that was good to hear because you really don't know who's going to see it, you know, whether it's...
And the percentage of Americans that have a broken parental relationship is
sure.
high.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
42% of people in America right now are growing up without a father
yeah.
at home.
Yeah,
so the statistics are staggering.
Yeah, and the response we've gotten from men, like just that night with that screening, there were about 10 or 11 men that pulled me aside and were like, man, I was, you know, this... You know, whether it's a similar story or something unresolved with their dad or some kind of father issues, I think especially men who are, you know, easily, you know, don't, you know, deal with those issues very
well. Which
is
most men.
Yes, or just bury them way, yeah, way, you know, down.
Yeah, way down.
Yeah, deep. Yeah. So that's interesting. It's an angle I never really thought about it for some reason. And it's, I guess, the whole process and the anxiety of telling your story and how they're going to tell it and just everything that goes into making a movie, I haven't stopped to think of who it might impact in that way. Just, and so it's been interesting to start seeing just a little bit of that so far.
Well, the cool thing is that's on God's side of the table.
Right.
And you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's faithfulness and then there's fruitfulness.
Yeah.
And I always have to remind myself to stay on my side of the equation.
God, that's so true, yeah.
So that was just a brief conversation we had about I Can Only Imagine, which is going to come out just before Easter next spring. Then we moved on to a conversation about crusade evangelism and being a, you know, the one of the main people, Need to Breathe, was there last Sunday night at Harvest America. But is it different than a regular concert to be up there when you know the whole point isn't really about the music? It's about the message and about the invitation with Pastor Greg Laurie. This is, again, Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me.
What about Harvest Crusade? I've seen you at a number of these. Mm-hmm. I think the first one was maybe SoCal. I saw you in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a different environment for you in Mercy Me because it is so directly about the lost and the gospel and a presentation and an invitation?
Not initially, no. I mean, like, you know, like I grew up Southern Baptist too, and there's a lot of this from an evangelistic standpoint, is very close to home, close to our hearts. You know, I mean, I grew up going to the Billy Graham Crusades, and just, you know, there's a time years ago to where it's like everything's about, you know, sharing the gospel, having an altar call, and doing it. And so there's a part of Harvest that's very old school, I'm not trying to downplay. It's just, it's,
yeah, oh yeah,
it's very familiar.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the crazy part is it's all of a sudden after years and years, it's very left of center of how things are done now.
Very much.
Even
so.
Though it's like, this is the way it was always done, you know, to not do this.
Starting
was
a couple
center.
Thousand years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Peter and Pentecost.
Yeah. And so I think we're drawn to it because, it went from something we did every day to something that we haven't been able to be a part of for many years. Yeah. So before we were signed, we were doing church camps and conferences and stuff. And this is just the way every night was done. Not on this scale, of course, but literally till now, it's probably the only place that I can think of conference wise or event wise to where it's done like, literally the only place it's done like this anymore that we get to be a part of.
Yeah.
And on this scale is insane. It's like, you know, I've always said this is kind of, I don't know if there was ever an actual passing of the torch, but it feels like this is where Billy Graham Crusade kind of left off, is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you ask Billy's daughter that, Anne, who lives in Raleigh, she's a friend, you ask her that question, she'd say, yeah, absolutely.
Really? I always wondered, and we did the last three Billy Graham Crusades, and then we kind of jumped right into Harvest, and if I didn't know better, I would think that they were linked together somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the Atlanta, Georgia, 1994, I think, where Greg and the team went to Billy's Crusade there.
Really?
To get a behind the scenes.
Wow.
How do you guys do this? We need some help with the machinery. And that's probably when Billy asked Greg to be on his board. Mm. And then Billy's last few years of doing Crusades, he asked Greg to help him with some of his messages.
See, I didn't know any of that. That's fascinating.
Because Greg's so good at taking current events and bringing it into a gospel message.
Yeah.
So Billy asked him to help with that.
Yeah, I had no idea. That's really cool. Because doing the last three and coming into this, there were so many similarities. Not just altar call, but the way that the behind the scenes work.
Yeah,
that I was
process.
Like, there's got to be a connection here. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Your discernment radar was working properly.
Yeah, so that was my conversation just this past Sunday with Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me. And then we moved on to talk about something. I was in Nashville, this was probably about a month ago, for an advanced screening, a real early screening of I Can Only Imagine, the movie about the story behind the song that's coming out next year right before Easter. And I didn't know this, but Bart and his wife, they have four children. Their firstborn, a son, was born in very early on, I think by the age of two, they discovered he had what's going to be a lifelong battle with diabetes, a really serious case of diabetes. And of course, they went through praying for healing and other people. Let's pray right now that God's going to heal your son. Well, now you fast forward 15 years. God has not chosen to heal their son. And so it's a really powerful part of the story and also leads to one of the songs that's been really popular for them recently. We're going to go there next with Bart Millard. Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. The website, as always, c2atoday.com. C2atoday, as in called to action. That's C2, the number 2, atoday.com. And at the top of the homepage, you'll see a couple options there. One is to sign up for our Daily Dose devotionals. That's I've got about 350 of those that I've written right now. We're most of the way through the book of Ephesians. You'll get one each morning really early. And then at 2-3 minutes, they're you know, I write like I speak, and so they're pretty direct and hard-hitting, and pretty much everyone that I've written, I was writing them to myself, oftentimes going, oh boy, I really need to drill down here on this particular passage. And so that's available. You can go to c2atoday.com. Also, our Sacred Cow Killers program, which is brand new, and we've got a couple more things to get in place with that. We've had a few people sign up, but I haven't been talking about it much because we got to get it completely ready to go, and then you'll hear me talking about it a lot. That's just a way for you to kind of officially partner with me here on Call to Action Radio, help support the ministry, and help us to grow and to get the truth out there with grace and to engage the issues with the biblical worldview. One thing I always want to remind you of, our friends at MediShare, I was actually listening to some video testimonies from three different families that we're going to have on in the future. We're working on getting those scheduled. One is a mom that had to battle breast cancer. another family whose child was born with spina bifida. Just really, really powerful stories. And then to hear how these massive medical bills were paid by other Christians around the country. Super, super powerful testimony. So we'll get those families on live here on the show in the near future. And MediShare, it's just a wonderful ministry as God has raised up over 200,000 Christians in the country to share one another's major medical expenses. Really difficult things like breast cancer, stuff like that. And then, you know, having a child. Some more quote-unquote routine medical things like that. So it's really been a wonderful ministry to be a part of. The Noble family, we've been a part of MediShare for 5 years now. Over $1 billion shared by Christians since 1993. I really am encouraging you to pick up the phone and give them a call and find out for yourself why it's such a huge blessing, not only because you're helping other Christians and they're helping you if you need it, but also in saving money, getting around some of the garbage in Obamacare. Really an awesome opportunity. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number, 855-BIBLE-11, also now available in Montana. So please give them a call, 855-BIBLE-11. So I turn the conversation over to this story about Bart Millard's son, who has a really, really serious case of diabetes.
Do you mind if I ask you about your son?
No, not at all.
You know, I think, you know, we have four kids, and of course, I think every parent fears, really from the get-go, if you're going to have a child that's got an illness or something. What words of encouragement or hope or that can you share with people? Because there's a lot of people that are struggling with that, and, you know, you talked about it a little bit at the screening. Mm. And I'm trying to remember, which song did you sing that was, it sounded like it was tied into your...
To my son, the first one's written after he was diagnosed was Bring the Rain years ago. And then Even If, the latest single, is the one that's still has to do with him. That's, you know, and it seems fitting because we even talk about how, you know, if you understand about a chronic illness, you know it never goes away. And so the idea that it rears its ugly head in another song 13, 14 years later, you know, shouldn't surprise anybody. But
let me just play that. Even if you haven't heard it, this is just a real short clip of it. I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope. So really, really, that's a really, I mean, check that out and go listen to it to yourself. I've got the lyrics in front of me. Really, really powerful song. Even if you don't. You know, because he doesn't fix everything according to what we want him to do. The Lord doesn't. And so Bart was going on talking about this, really, really poignant things that he has to say here.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, it's funny because we were on one side of that things. We had, he's the first of our five kids. And I think with the first child, you worry, is he going to be healthy more than any? I mean, we worry, but that first one, you think you're going to break him because you don't have an owner's manual and everything worries you.
Yep.
And he was two and he was diagnosed, and even those 2 years, man, we were so nervous about not, we didn't know what to expect. We just, you fear for the worst. And it's funny because one of the worst things kind of happened 2 years into his life and it wrecked us for a while. But looking back, it's like, I know it's, you'd think I wouldn't be one to say this, but I tell parents all the time, I was like, man, you can't stress about that if it hasn't happened, because it ruins what you have right now.
Right, yeah.
And it's just a distraction, man. It's just anxiety and worries. There's no point in it. And I know it's easier said than done because we were in the same place. But the interesting thing is once he was diagnosed and we kind of got a grip on what was happening and the reality of it all, you know, we started treating it. This is okay. This is our new normal, you know.
Yeah.
Can't explain it. Don't know why it happened, but it has. And it's just, and you deal with it. And, you know, and it's, we're always, you know, we always worry about, are we going to be the good enough and the good enough parents, and are we going to be able to handle if something happens? But somehow we always are able to. And so some of the best advice I've ever given is, if you ever worry if you're a good enough parent or not, you're probably a good enough parent, because there's so many that don't worry about it at all and don't give any second thought. So I don't know, but yeah, it's
that encourages me.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get it right, man.
I'm like, am I the recipient again of the worst dad of the year award?
Oh yeah, no, man. I mean, you always get that, man. We were laughing because I was doing it. I'm in a men's group that meets whenever I'm home. And
by the way, this again is Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me. We were had a chance to sit down and talk just this past Sunday before the Harvest America Crusade in Phoenix.
Had all these guys from all different parts, jobs and walks of life, and I was talking about my dad and this story. We were right in the middle of the movie, so I was kind of telling them, and really kind of had this attitude of, oh, I'm totally going to win this conversation of worst dad, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm talking about mine, then a guy over here is talking about how he had the best dad in the world and blah, blah. But then every story, no matter if it was good or bad, ended up with all of us saying, we almost pretty much got therapy, because for me, I was missing a dad. For him, he couldn't meet his dad's expectations. And so we were kind of like, man, I guess either way, being a dad, it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. It's like, you're screwed either way. The best dad and the worst. There's some kid has some issue he's got to work through. So we joking, I tell my son, look, you'll deal with that in therapy one day. Let's just get through today.
Well, the old adage, misery loves company.
Yeah, totally.
like really? This is going to sound really bad, but I'm so glad to hear how messed up you are.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Oh, yeah, I lost track of time.
No problem. Yeah. Bart, good seeing you.
Yeah, good seeing you.
All right, so there you go. That was my interview just this past Sunday with Bart Millard from Mercy Me, and we talked about a number of things. So back to this song, Even If. They're really, really powerful lyrics. God's really gifted him, and this just really, when I heard him tell the story about his son and having to struggle with their anger with God, who chose not to heal their son, and the fact that he was came down with this lifelong battle with diabetes, and whether it's your child or a spouse or somebody else, whether it's health or some other issue, life is messed up and it's not pretty sometimes, and we live in a broken world, and for love to exist, there has to be free will, and so we violate one another, and it's broken. Sin has infested the whole thing, and so it's just a mess in many ways, and that's just the deal. That's just part of it, and a lot of people have a problem with that, with God, of course. They want him to solve everything and fix everything, but then you'd never learn. And by the way, if everything's going your way, how much do you even think of God? We don't. He knows that, so he allowed this system and his sovereignty, and so you deal with brokenness. But this is just some lyrics from the song. I really appreciate this. They say, sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right. But right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? And then, of course, the chorus. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing it as well with my soul. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful. You've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, because I know you're able. I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. A beautiful song, Even If, by Mercy Me. And we'll just kind of land the plane there on that one. And whether it's health issues, job issues, financial issues, relational issues, prodigal sons and daughters, a failing marriage, failing health, whatever it is, sometimes that's where we need to end up, is kind of in a mess, in a ball, laying at the foot of the cross, crying out to the Savior, who is, even if that stuff doesn't get fixed, if he doesn't pull you out of that situation, he is enough. And even if he doesn't fix all that, our hope is still in him. We still have the hope of heaven. We still have the reality that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There will be no more tears, no more broken relationships, no more health problems, no more marital problems, no more financial problems. If you know Christ and him crucified, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've placed all your faith in Jesus Christ and not in yourself, and you've trusted in his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, the Bible says, you're born again. And in our 72 years or 35 years or 86 years of life on earth will become a distant memory, where we'll walk into paradise with our Heavenly Father and all that garbage will be gone. He is enough. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.